Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden, along with Alex Talich. We're talking some Packers football. We're introducing your 2014 Green Bay Packers. We're going to break down the roster this episode. It's Labor Day. I wasn't doing anything sitting around the house, so I figured why not go on air on Labor Day and talk some Packers football. There's nothing else I'd rather be doing than doing this. So with that, your most frequently broadcasted podcast there is on the internet is bringing you Packers football breakdown here on a Monday morning at Cheesehead TV. There's so much attention on the prediction of the Packers 53-man roster, so much attention to the training camp battles that go on. I myself released a 53-man roster prediction just, you know, before the Packers cut down on Saturday. So I wanted to recap what the Packers are doing and who they kept, kind of position by position this episode. Being Labor Day, I don't have a guest. I didn't want to bother anybody on their day off, so you're just getting my thoughts today. But I thought the time was appropriate to kind of break down the roster, and I promise, you know, we kind of did the same thing in our prediction episode last week where we went through the roster position by position. I promise this will be the last episode of Railbird Central where we kind of take that format if that's kind of getting boring to you. But now that the season's starting, you don't have to worry. We've got actual football that counts, that matters to talk about on the show. And we'll of course, be looking ahead to the Packers' upcoming NFL kickoff game against the Seattle Seahawks, the all-important season opener on Thursday. We'll be giving a preview of that game on Wednesday as we introduce Nathan Yonke to the show for his first regular season appearance, kind of our preview episode. So we'll talk about that then. But today, let's break down this roster, folks, position by position, as the Packers kind of settle on what they think their initial 53-man roster will be. So, quarterback, obviously, the man who needs no introduction, your starting quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers. He's healthy, coming off a year in which he broke his collarbone in 2013, missed seven games, eight games, really. We don't need to sit here and break down Aaron Rodgers. We know he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league, one of the top three, if not the top one. You know, I think a lot of people can argue he's the number one quarterback in the NFL. His roster spot was never in question. It's just a matter of how far can he lead the Packers, more or less, and can he be the NFL's MVP in 2014? That's about the only question with Aaron Rodgers. Of course, he's got to be healthy to do so. But good thing for the Packers is they sat all their starters in the final preseason game. Aaron Rodgers enters the regular season as healthy as he possibly can be. The big question was who is going to back Aaron Rodgers up, and we have our answer. There was so much attention on two questions. A, who would the backup be in Green Bay? And B, would they carry two or three quarterbacks? And we finally have our answer. The Packers decided to keep three quarterbacks on the roster, both Matt Flynn and Scott Tolzien, getting to the number two person in a second. But, you know, in making my 53-man roster prediction, I argued and wrote a column that got a fair amount of attention that the Packers should only carry two quarterbacks, kind of not overreacting to the situation, the injury-filled situation that occurred last year in Green Bay. I think they're going to have better health. I don't think you have to have a number three quarterback on the roster. That being said, I can't blame the Packers for doing this. When you look at who the fringe players were that were cut, you know, who was the Packers kept 53 players. Who was number 54, number 55? Probably you're talking about maybe safety Chris Banjo being one of the first players left off the team. And I understand if the Packers, after last season's events, want a little bit of peace of mind keeping a third quarterback over, say, safety Chris Banjo, who, albeit, you know, has done a very nice job in Green Bay, provides some special teams value. The chances that Chris Banjo was active on game days when the Packers can only have 46 players suit up by NFL rule, it, you know, Chris Banjo wasn't going to start anyway. Wasn't likely to play anyway. I can understand why the Packers would keep a third quarterback, giving them peace of mind just in case there's that injury unforeseen like a year ago. They can get by and they go with three quarterbacks. Now, as we've learned yesterday, head coach Mike McCarthy in his press conference acknowledged Matt Flynn will be the number two quarterback, or at least he is for the moment being, going with the veteran, the savvy experience of Matt Flynn over the potential of Scott Tolzien. That's the way it's shaping up for right now. How long that lasts, I'm not sure. Maybe it's just for, you know, seeing as there's only a short turnaround here for week one, in which they go on the road to play the defending champion Seahawks. Maybe the Packers want to go with the guy, Matt Flynn, who is in the Seahawks organization, and they're just going with the veteran who has more experience. Maybe that's the case, and they turn to Tolzien down the road. Obviously, by keeping Tolzien, I think the Packers are saying they like his long-term potential, and he may be around beyond 2014, even though his contract expires after the season. That could be the case, but for now, Matt Flynn is your backup quarterback in Green Bay. Me personally, I would have gone with Scott Tolzien. Can I blame the Packers for choosing Matt Flynn? I don't think, you know, that's really a choice worthy of criticism. We'll defer to the Green Bay Packers and just see how the season plays itself out and see whether at some point Scott Tolzien can overtake Matt Flynn in the backup quarterback battle. I'm not sure if it's a battle taking place anymore now that training camp is over, but we'll see. Running backs, arguably one of the most solidified positions on the Packers roster. Four players kept, and all of them pretty darn good in their own right, beginning with the reigning NFL Rookie of the Year, Offensive Rookie of the Year, Eddie Lacy. You've got a veteran, experienced, big-time backup, strong player in James Starks. You've got your change of pace and kick returner, Dewan Harris, to go along with incumbent fullback John Kuhn. There was really very little doubt about who the Packers were going to keep at the running back position throughout most of training camp. You know, they gave guys like Rajon Neal, Ladarius Perkins, Michael Hill all a shot. But those guys are clearly a step behind who the Packers kept: Lacy, Starks, Harris, all of them performing very well, both in years past and in training camp this past July and August. So the Packers very well set there. Even if one player gets hurt, misses a few games, whoever it is, Lacy, Starks, somebody's going to be there to pick up the slack, and you feel pretty darn good about what the Packers have going for them at the running back position. Lacy, you're looking for him potentially being a 1,500-yard rusher this year. I think that's pretty ambitious. But the potential is there for Eddie Lacy to build off what he did a season ago, a season which started slowly, in which he missed a game. I think, was it week two or week three of the season, and was kind of sharing carries early on. He's now the unquestioned starter, and the Packers' running game should be good, should be taking, you know, pressure off Aaron Rodgers in the passing game. But running back position, pretty much no questions there. Wide receivers, deep group of wide receivers in training camp. It was thought for a long time, but early in training camp before any injury struck, and of course the Packers lost rookie Jared Aberderis for the season, unfortunately. You know, there was thoughts at one point the Packers would keep six, maybe even in a remote scenario, up to seven wide receivers, end up only keeping five, although I think it's a pretty talented group of five, although maybe beyond the top three, not very experienced. Obviously, you've got Jordy Nelson, one of the highest paid wide receivers in the NFL after receiving his contract extension. Your slot candidate, not even a candidate, your slot wide receiver, Randall Cobb, Mr. Versatility, who can also play running back and return kicks as well, and is looking for his own contract extension. Then you've got Jarrett Boykin, the guy who you thought maybe coming into training camp might be pushed for the number three wide receiver spot by rookie Devontae Adams. Jarrett Boykin didn't lose any hold on the number three wide receiver spot. It is his. Devontae Adams, he's kind of, this worries you a little bit in that you're worried that Devontae Adams has been kind of slow to develop. But I suppose, he's only the Packers' fourth wide receiver. Is he going to be seeing a lot of playing time? Not really. The Packers could certainly, as long as everybody's healthy, heck, they could get away with not even playing a fourth wide receiver an entire game, as long as you've got, enough tight ends and running backs to get you by and you don't have to roll out four wide receiver sets or more. Devontae Adams will be brought along slowly this season. You can just hope he gets better as the season goes along. And I suppose the same thing could be said for seventh-round rookie wide receiver Jeff Janis, your number five wide receiver and potential return specialist, showed a supreme amount of talent during the preseason, scoring two prolific touchdowns through the air, as well as doing a rather solid job on punt returns as well. I think he's probably even more raw than Devontae Adams at this point, and I think the chances that Jeff Janis is active, especially for the very first game of the season, are probably extremely low. I don't expect Jeff Janis to play against the Seahawks, folks. Maybe his time's coming in the near future, but I think the Packers are going to go with the experienced players in such an all-important game, the first game of the season. Jeff Janis' day is coming. I don't expect it to be Thursday. We'll see. Who knows? Maybe they feel good about what he's doing on returns, and they want to get him involved. But I think in the season opener, we're going to see Jeff Janis as one of the game day inactives, assuming the Packers suffer no more injuries. Tight end. Packers keep four tight ends. Richard Rodgers, your rookie and presumed starter, the guy who started every preseason game for the Packers, even though Andrew Corliss is your veteran. And, I thought coming into the season, Andrew Corliss would be the starter by default. Rodgers has done very well, though. He's made a mistake here and there in preseason action, but you expect that from a rookie. You just hope he's learned from those mistakes and he's ready for prime time because, boy, the way the Packers' first-string offense operated with Richard Rodgers in there during the preseason, there's no reason to think they can't do the same thing with him in there in the regular season. I think he'll be fine. Are there going to be a couple lumps along the way? Sure. You just hope maybe there's not too many for Richard Rodgers and they get by. Andrew Corliss is certainly going to play a role, probably especially this first game of the season in a hostile environment on the road. I can see the Packers leaning very heavily on Andrew Corliss, getting him a large amount of playing time. He's looked solid. He's not spectacular. He hasn't been the same player since he came back from injury, I don't think, especially from a blocking standpoint. That doesn't mean he can't do things. I still think just as the veteran, the Packers are going to rely on him week one at Seattle. In addition to that, Brandon Bostic is injured. Expected, I think, to miss the Packers' first game of the season. Did not practice yesterday. Packers held their first practice Sunday. getting prepared for the regular season opener. Brandon Bostic was one of only three players who did not take part in the practice. And, I wouldn't expect him to play week one based upon the apparent fracture he has in his knee area suffered during preseason play. Apparently not a long-term thing that's going to keep him out a long time, but I don't think we're going to see Brandon Bostic play at Seattle. Finally, your number four tight end, Ryan Taylor, kind of the biggest special teams contributor among the group, a guy who's a veteran, guy who knows what he's doing and won the number four job over tight end Jake Stoneburner. Kind of an interesting thing here. Jake Stoneburner was placed on injured reserve, meaning his season is over unless the Packers come to some sort of injury settlement with him. But the thing is, haven't received word yet on what Jake Stoneburner's injury was. I never saw him come out. He appeared to be fine during the Packers' fourth preseason game against the Chiefs. Never saw him suffer an injury. Never saw him come out. Never saw him, laying down on the field or being attended to or anything like that. Still kind of awaiting word what happened. Just a surprise that it kind of came out of the blue, kind of came out of nowhere. But he'll stick with the Packers organization as long as they continue to carry him on injured reserve and could, compete for a job again next year. But Jake Stoneburner's season is done for the moment being. So those are your Packers tight ends, four of them. The offensive line. The Packers kept eight offensive linemen, presumably a little bit thin on the offensive line. Just from, some teams keep nine, some teams will keep as many as 10. The Packers only kept eight, and in fact, it's very likely they only keep seven active on game days, though. But, that's nothing new. They've been doing that for years. The concern you have is at the center position here, obviously. J.C. Tretter was injured during preseason, and he looks to be out several weeks. He seems to be the Packers player with the most injury concerns entering the season, in that he also suffered a knee injury, going to be out several weeks. We don't have an exact timeline of when he's going to be back, but that has opened the door for fifth-round draft choice Corey Linsley as the Packers' starting center for heading into the Packers week one game at Seattle. And we talked about prior to the last preseason game, I thought maybe it might be important for the Packers to get some game action between Aaron Rodgers, your quarterback, and Corey Linsley, your new starting center. Get them some game action together. That was your final opportunity for them to kind of practice together in a game environment before the regular season starts. Of course, the Packers don't do that. They choose to sit, most of their starters in the final preseason game against the Chiefs. But Corey Linsley has looked good. It's just, he's inexperienced. He's a rookie. Hopefully he's up to the task. But the Packers really, for the moment being, have nowhere else to turn. It's looking like Josh Sitton is probably your backup center based upon what happened in training camp and him getting snaps there in practice. And they'll just wait until J.C. Tretter returns, unless they're placing him on short-term injured reserve, which could be perhaps not out of the question. Head coach Mike McCarthy was asked about the depth of the Packers offensive line yesterday, during a press conference, and here is what head coach Mike McCarthy had to say. Are we getting this audio here? Oh, wow, this is beyond quiet. I did not expect that. It was playing. It was barely audible, though. I apologize, folks. Maybe I can fix that later at some point. Mike McCarthy was asked about the depth of the offensive line. He said that it was not, it did not concern him, more or less. To paraphrase Mike McCarthy, I wish I had the audio for you and hear what he had to say. But he's okay with eight offensive linemen. I think the Packers are okay too. Here's the one thing, and this kind of, you know, gets into a position we'll be talking about in a few minutes. But here is one thing that the Packers did that still you may see here today. So, you know, one of the controversies when the Packers cut down the roster was they cut cornerback Jamal Roll, who many people thought was deserving of a spot on the Packers 53-man roster and arguably ahead of Dimitri Goodson, the Packers' sixth-round draft choice. But I think what's happening here is Jamal Roll did not get claimed on waivers by any other team. The Packers also, on Sunday, set their 10-man practice squad. It is full, so seemingly there's no room for Jamal Roll right now. What is he doing out on the street? You know, not claimed, not on a practice squad. One of two things is going to happen in one of the next 2 days here. Either A, and here's where it kind of relates to the offensive line, either the Packers are going to place J.C. Tretter on short-term injured reserve. You know, that every NFL team can designate one player to come back from injured reserve for, later in the season. That will either happen to J.C. Tretter. He's the only person it would probably happen to, unless Brandon Bostic's injury was much more severe than what we thought. NFL teams cannot designate that player until tomorrow, until Tuesday at the earliest. So that's why they might be waiting to clear up a roster spot for perhaps Jamal Roll to come back. Or another situation that is possible, place Dimitri Goodson, Packers cornerback who they kept, who some people thought Jamal Roll played better than. Dimitri Goodson has been dealing with a concussion. And if you were to release him, you would have to come to an injury settlement with him. And then you couldn't sign him till at least 6 weeks later in the season. The Packers didn't want to go through all that, probably. So one thing that might happen is the Packers were just waiting for Dimitri Goodson to pass the NFL's concussion protocol. You know, he suffered it in the third preseason game, so he's probably at a point where he's close, you would think, to returning from concussion. And maybe when that happens, they just switch cornerbacks. They release Goodson, maybe sign him to the practice squad, but then sign Jamal Roll to the active 53-man roster. I think that's what's happening as we see Jamal Roll here out in limbo, no, with no NFL team for the time being. He's proven himself good enough that he deserves to be in the NFL. So we're going to see one of those two things happen in the next 2 days here. So I think that's what's going to happen. So kind of get yourself prepared for that. Some news that's coming down the pipe in the next 24 to 48 hours. Okay, so we've talked about the offensive line. Let's get to the defensive side of the football. You know, if you thought the Packers were thin on the offensive line, they're probably even thinner on the defensive line, where they kept only five players. And this kind of came as a surprise. Well, not a surprise, but I mean, you know, the Packers suffering some injuries over the course of training camp, losing both defensive tackle, nose tackle, B.J. Raji for the entire season, and then losing third-round draft choice Kyrie Thornton to a torn hamstring in the last preseason game. Both of them are an injured reserve. They're done for the year. So the Packers now have only five defensive linemen. Of course, Mike Daniels, last year's first-round draft choice, Dayton Jones. You've got second-year player Josh Boyd. You've got free agent addition Latroy Guyon. And then undrafted rookie Mike Pinnell are your five defensive linemen. You're hoping, obviously, you know, Dayton Jones, Mike Daniels, those guys are going to be pretty darn good rushing the passer. You worry about the run-stuffing ability of the Packers from the standpoint that Daniels and Jones, little bit undersized, not really, you know, in terms of weight-wise, they're not huge. And then the nose tackle position, of course, you were expecting B.J. Raji to be the nose tackle. Now the Packers are going to rely on some sort of combination out of LaTroy Guyon, Josh Boyd, and Mike Pinnell. And maybe it turns out that that rotation is just as good as B.J. Raji, especially if we're talking about the B.J. Raji of 2013 who didn't play very well. But you are also worried about depth. All of a sudden, if the Packers suffer one injury, they're down to four defensive linemen, and that's a situation you don't really want. Although, you know, it is a little bit different this year. The Packers are kind of using some four defensive line sets where you're seeing Julius Peppers and Mike Neal and Nick Perry being used as defensive ends, as well as Mike Neal and even Julius Peppers potentially as a interior rusher. So, I mean, those guys can kind of be considered pseudo defensive linemen. Certainly if you suffer one injury throughout the course of a game, the Packers aren't hampered totally. And on top of that, Johnny Jolly, Ryan Pickett, still only a phone call away if the Packers, you know, really need help on the defensive line. And they placed Luther Robinson on the practice squad. So they kind of have options in reserve. So the Packers' defensive line situation isn't the best, but there are backup plans in case. Outside linebacker ended up being one of the deepest positions on the roster. You've got Julius Peppers. You got these guys we talked about here just a moment ago. Julius Peppers, Nick Perry, Mike Neal, of course, Clay Matthews. And then undrafted rookie Jayron Elliott makes his presence known in training camp with five sacks in preseason play. Makes himself, earns a roster spot and plays so well. You have to wonder, do the Packers have to get him involved in the regular season? He played that well. It could be a case where Jayron Elliott ends up, or, you know, getting some regular season playing time. Is it going to come week one? I'm not sure, but at some point it might be. And then one of the, you know, probably one of the last guys in, when you talk about it, you know, if we're comparing the Packers roster to a March Madness tournament, you know, there's so much attention on the last four in and the first four out. Andy Malumba had to be one of the last players to make the roster, but you know what? He's probably one of the 53 best players on the roster. You know, when I made my roster prediction, I left Andy Malumba out from the standpoint that, wow, he's behind Peppers, Matthews, Perry, Neal, Jayron Elliott even. But, you know, even though it seems like Andy Malumba is a long shot to receive any playing time, the simple fact was he was probably one of the 53 best players, regardless of what position he played. Keeping Andy Malumba is just perhaps in the best interest of the Packers in keeping around a good, talented, young player. You know, all of a sudden, who knows, an injury or two happens, and then, you know, you're relying on Andy Malumba like you were last year. I think he's going to be even better than he was as a rookie. And who knows, down the road, what happens? You could trade him away at some point. There's value to keeping Andy Malumba. So I think that was the thinking with the Packers roster there. Inside linebacker, there was, with the top four players, very few questions. A.J. Hawk, Brad Jones, who, by the way, just practiced for the first time since suffering a quadriceps injury in the preseason. Brad Jones is back and appears to be healthy. On top of that, Jamari Lattimore and Sam Barrington making the roster. And then the one surprise was Carl Bradford, the guy who had made very little impression, the fourth-round draft choice during training camp. He's kept on the Packers roster and is probably going to receive a redshirt year as he gets used to playing the inside linebacker position. The Packers trying him at outside linebacker early in training camp did not work out. But they shift Carl Bradford inside in time for the final preseason game. I thought he played well in the final preseason game, considering the circumstances, considering he had very few practices to be able to get ready and play the position. They shift him there, and I think, you know, he's going to be one of those game day inactives where he's going to play very little, or if he does play, it's going to be pretty much strictly on special teams, which is certainly a good spot for Carl Bradford. But don't expect him to play inside linebacker this year. They'll take the entire year to develop him, to learn the position, and then he'll come back next year, and we'll see how much he's learned. And whether he's capable of earning a roster spot and receiving regular playing time next year. Because who knows what happens beyond 2014 with A.J. Hawk and Brad Jones. Packers could be looking for a seismic shift at the position, but we'll see whether Carl Bradford is a part of that. Okay, getting to cornerback, which we kind of alluded to before with our discussion of Dimitri Goodson and Jamal Roll. But the Packers keep six. They keep, of course, Sam Shields, who became one of the highest-paid cornerbacks in the NFL in the offseason. You've got veteran holdover Tremont Williams. You've got Devon House. You've got Casey Hayward. You've got special teams ace Jared Bush. And at least for the moment being, you've got Dimitri Goodson, with Jamal Roll still being on the street, and we're waiting to see what happens with him. But, it wasn't surprising that the Packers kept six cornerbacks because three have expiring contracts after the season. Tremont Williams, Devon House, Jarrett Bush. No guarantee any of those three are going to be back with the Packers beyond 2014. So the Packers wanted to keep, some young guys around and make sure they were around for 2015 and beyond. That's one reason why they kept Dimitri Goodson. They didn't want to expose him to waivers right away. All of a sudden, the rest of the teams, if they end up do releasing Dimitri Goodson, another team would have to think long and hard about, adding him to their roster after setting their own 53-man. And, they would have to make room for him probably. So the Packers kind of sitting pretty. Even if they have to release Dimitri Goodson, there's a good chance they can sneak him onto the practice squad then and kind of keep both him and Roll around just in case next season, Tremont Williams, Devon House, and Jarrett Bush are gone. They've got some guys waiting in the wings who are going to kind of receive a little bit of seasoning here in 2014, kind of like Carl Bradford. These guys aren't going to see a lot of playing time unless it's on special teams. But they're going to learn, and they're going to wait in the wings, and maybe you're going to see Dimitri Goodson and Jamal Roll play a bigger role in 2015 and beyond. But for the moment being, the Packers relying on Sam Shields, Tremont Williams, Devon House to at least this season going to hold down the fort at the cornerback position. Elsewhere in the secondary, at safety, the Packers keep four safeties. Your veteran incumbent starter, Morgan Burnett. Your first-round draft choice, Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. Your presumed starter, Micah Hyde, who has switched positions from cornerback. And then your fourth safety is Sean Richardson, who had a very good training camp. The Packers really seemingly are in a good position at safety, unlike a year ago. What a difference a year makes with the Packers in that they somehow get a whole lot better at the cornerback position, the safety position. Last year they were sitting with M.D. Jennings and Chris Banjo made the roster this year, and this year he does not. So It's quite the shift at the safety position. You feel a whole lot better of where they are because of the addition of Clinton Dix, because Sean Richardson had such a good training camp, because Micah Hyde has made seemingly a seamless transition to safety from cornerback. You're feeling a whole lot better about the Packers and how they're doing there, as opposed to just 1 year ago when you were shaking your head and watching MD Jennings get beat play after play and getting run over. MD Jennings just ends up getting cut by the Chicago Bears, does not make even their 53-man roster. And the Packers are now in better shape than they were in 2013. Your specialist, of course, no questions here. Mason Crosby, your kicker. Tim Mastay, your punter. Brett Goode, your long snapper. No change there. There was no question whatsoever the Packers were going to keep those three. And that is your 2014 Green Bay Packers roster, at least initially. Things will change along the way. Injuries will happen. Players will get placed on injured reserve or released. But entering the season, that is your 2014 Green Bay Packers and a team that very much has the potential and the capability to play in the Super Bowl, compete for a Super Bowl. February is a long time away from now, but they've assembled enough talent for this team to compete and be competitive. And we'll find a whole lot out about this team week one on Thursday when the Packers travel to the defending Super Bowl champion, Seattle Seahawks. Like I said, Wednesday will kind of be our Seahawks preview episode as we take a look at how the Packers are going to try to attack the Seahawks and counterattack them. And we'll be talking to Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com on that day to preview the Seahawks NFL kickoff game. But that'll do it for today, folks, here at Railbird Central. Thank you for joining me on Labor Day here. Enjoy your Labor Day, the last day of summer, as it's popularly known, and we get ready for an autumn full of NFL football. So we'll see you later, folks. We'll be back on Wednesday, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time here at Cheesehead TV. I leave you today with a song called So Far From Home by the String Cheese Incident on Psi Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.